Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Member Preds fans, go to NashvilleLockerRoom.com, NashvilleLockerRoom.com. Use the code THEGAME15, THEGAME15. That'll get you 15% off Preds stuff and online at the team store. That offer expires tonight at midnight, Every Wednesday we talk to Chris Mason, brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. You can visit SmokyMountaintops.com. He's also driven by Freeland Chevrolet. C-Mace, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Just outside, trying to enjoy the cool, brisk air today. It's actually really nice.
Yeah, it is. I haven't been outside, but I've already been told that it is significantly cooler than the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, it is. We need it. You know, it's been all over the place, actually. It's been and it hasn't been too hot, which is nice. I'm sure some people would prefer the hot weather, but I'm good with how it's been. I think it's been awesome.
So we just got through playing a little bit of my interview with Jordan Tutu last night. And one, I just want to know what you thought, you know, your time with Jordan Tutu. When I say Toots, what do you think?
Well, I just remember him coming in and he was almost, you know, a bigger than life personality, you know, especially being from Canada, you know, the impact that he had at the World Juniors when he just went around and just destroyed, you know, all the kids that he was playing against his age and some of the European players that have probably never seen anybody hit like that in their entire lives. And to get a guy like that to come into Nashville and the instant stardom that he had. He's an instant fan favorite with the way that he played. But the biggest thing I just remember about him, he was such a young, raw kid, just, you know, just this light in his eyes and just full of life and excitement and hard work and passion and just a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed kid, you know, coming to Nashville. And, you know, I personally can't imagine what it would have been like for me at that age to come in and to play at that level. And, you know, he was just a young kid that just had a zest for the game of hockey and just found a way. He's just one of those guys. I think you guys would know, there's just something different about him. You just like being around that kid. And, you know, I played with him when he was younger and he started obviously his first years in the league. I think my full year in the NHL was his first year. So
his was 2003-04.
Yeah,
season.
And that was the first year as well. So I'd been called up before, and I played in the minors for 6 years previous to that. But that was my first full year in Nashville in the NHL, and it was like nothing I'd ever seen. And I've never seen, and to this day, I've never seen anybody hit as hard as Jordan Tutu. The way that he played the game, just, you know, he worked his butt off. And, you know, I just have a lot of great memories. And you know, by the time that I left is when he really started to, you know, have some personal issues. I think, you know, in a way I could kind of see that coming a little bit maybe. Maybe I didn't quite know the extent of it. You know, in the minors, it's one thing, but in the NHL, you don't spend all your free time together. But, you know, we did spend some time, you know, away from the rink, obviously, and having beers and things like that. But I never saw, you know, him to the point where it started spiraling out of control and where he, you know, lost control and needed help. So I found out about that more after I had left. But, you know, it's part of life and it's part of the struggle. And a young player and person with, you know, the life that he had. And, you know, I know that he, you know, had a lot of lingering effects of dealing with his brother, Terrence, and, you know, and dealing with fame and being in the NHL and getting money and all the attention and all that thing. I think it caught up to him, but what a story, inspirational story he's been, not only to, you know, the First Nations community, which he is a very, you know, big advocate for, and he goes around, there's a lot of public speaking. I'm sure you talked about that, but just for everybody, just to see now his positivity and the control that he has in his life and how happy he is with his family. I mean, he's just a great man, and I'm really, really, really proud of him, of what he's been able to do. And, you know, he had the support of the Predators and Barry Trotz and the coaching staff and the organization. And, you know, a lot of these situations, you've seen so many times in sports where, you know, somebody has an issue off ice or something like that, and they just, you know, kick him in the curb and everyone, you know, get rid of him. He's, you know, he's a problem and it's bad for the dressing room and all this, and you forget about the person. But that's one of the biggest things that I respect about the Nashville Predators, David Poile and Sean Henry and the whole organization, the ownership, is that they don't leave their people hanging. They get them the help that they need and they get them back and they help them recover. And I think we saw that too with Austin Watson, how they handled that situation. And that takes, you know, that takes a lot of courage and conviction. And I just really respect that about the Predators. And to see where Jordan is now, that's why you do it.
Yep, 9-plus years sober. It's a great story. Something that I did want to bring up with him, you brought up the hits, and this was a little bit different type of hit. You're talking about him plowing over people, but he truly did hit somebody and get suspended. I wanted to get to Robida, and I think it was the 06-07 season against the Stars. What do you remember about that game? I can't remember if you were in net that night or not. I believe it was the latter part of the season. It was maybe, you know, it was definitely in the second half of the year, probably February or March of that year. But what do you remember about that game at Bridgestone Arena against the Stars?
Well, it was getting chippy, and I remember, you know, Tooth is always, you know, in everyone's face. And if you ask any defenseman, even like Hal Gill guys, it doesn't matter how big or small they were, when Tooth is on the ice, they knew, you know, especially at Nashville when you heard the
two
train, the whistles going, and oh my God, I can't imagine being a defenseman hearing those things and you have to go back and get the puck and knowing that maniac's out there. But I just remember the game was getting chippy. I think he went after, I think it was Mike Badano, or he's getting in his face, and you know, he went after anybody. He didn't care. You know, he played the way he did, and he played that way every single game. And that game was getting a little chippy. We've always had, the Preds in Dallas have always had kind of that kind of rivalry where just games would get rough. And I remember seeing Robida, I think it was Medano, if I remember correctly.
I think that's
I was on
right.
The bench. Yeah, and he was mixing it up with him a little bit. And then I saw Robida come flying over, and I'm like, oh, buddy, don't do it. And then I know Toot saw him out of the corner of his eyes. And, you know, with his peripheral vision, and then Robida was coming and flying in there, and then Toots just turned around and just spun.
Clocked him.
And just clocked him. That was one, you know, and it was glove on. It was glove on, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he just glove on and just absolutely blasted him. And, that was just, you know, one of the fleshest punches I think I've ever seen. He just caught him, and obviously Robida was down and out. But Toots, I mean, pound for pound. I mean, you see the guy off the ice, he's like a fire hydrant. He's like two fire hydrants, and he is built like a brick, and it's all solid muscle, and he is just a tank. And pound for pound, man, he was one of the toughest, strongest guys that I've ever played with, no question.
Last thing on my end, he brought you up in the interview. Here's what he had to say.
One of my favorite teammates was Chris Mason. You know, the guy was had the biggest smile on his face. Every day in the dressing room, he worked as hard as anyone could work, and just a role model by actions. And I'm sure he still is today with Skillsy, right? Like they got it going on, I think. But
I asked him if he's watched your videos, and he said, absolutely.
Well, that, you know what, that's really cool to hear, because, you know, I've got a ton of respect for him, and, you know, to see somebody, you know, come in as a young player and to see someone grow into a man, and the family man that he's become, and the way that he's conducted himself and recovered, and, you know, now his life mission is to help other people and educate them. You know, for him to say that about me, it's really an honor. And, you know, I'm grateful, you know, you meet so many good people along the way, and there's one of them. And it's one of those stories. It's a story that people can look to. And I think he's such an amazing job with public speaking. I'm sure that's something that, you know, it's not easy to do. I get nervous talking in front of people. It's different in front of the camera. I don't really get that nervous to do that anymore. But to go in front of a group of people and your peers and teachers and whoever it may be, it's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, he does it well, and he's an inspiration. So I'm honored to, you know, to hear him say that. That was really cool. Thanks for playing it.
We're talking to Chris Mason, talking a little hockey today. And Mace, we had Pete on a little bit earlier in the show, and we were talking about the historical significance of Wayne Gretzky going to L.A. and what that did for the league at the peak of his stardom. And Pete made the statement, and I think it's true not only for our city but a lot of cities, that the NHL never would have made it to places like Nashville had Wayne Gretzky not moved down to Los Angeles in the big market and transformed that market into something that could spin off into places like Phoenix and then have a second team there like Anaheim, et cetera, and then on down the road, the domino effect. Take us back to that time in your life. What do you remember the day that Wayne Gretzky got traded to the Kings?
Well, it was one of those days, that times that you just never forget. It's, you know, he's the best player in the world. You know, I grew up watching him my entire life and just, you know, idolized him. He was my favorite player. That wasn't a goalie. You know, I got to see him live. I got a stick from him in 1985, had all his hockey cards and sticker books and all that kind of stuff. But when that happened, it was one of those things that, you know, he's a player that you'd think he's going to be an Edmonton Oiler for life. There's no way that anyone's going to trade him. And when he went down there, you know, from Edmonton to LA, it was just the polar opposite place. And but like you said, you know, now looking back on it, it was, you know, one of the most influential moves that anybody's ever made, and probably the best thing that could have ever happened for the league, like you said, Willie, because, you know, instant success in LA. Obviously, you have the best player in the world. Everyone, you know, eyes on Hollywood. He's down there. If it can work down there, it's going to branch out, and then you get more, you know, American fans paying attention to the LA Kings. They changed the jerseys, you know, everything. And I think the fact that that trade was made, and I really do believe this, unless something else had happened, but I just don't think there was another player with the star power of Wayne Gretzky that, you know, maybe Mario Lemieux. But at that time, you know, he goes down there, and that just really opened the door, I think, for expansion and hockey. The popularity just started to explode because Wayne Gretzky was an LA King. So I think that was, you know, you look back now and there's those events that you look back and, you know, change the path of where the sport was going. And I think that was one of the biggest things to ever happen to help the growth of hockey in the U.S., maybe worldwide.
You were here for a couple of big crossroads for the Predators as well while you were playing here, and probably more people are more familiar with the ownership change and the rally and everything that happened that absolutely saved the franchise. But if you go back a couple of years more, this is another thing we touched on with Pete. Where were you when you realized that Paul Kariya was going to sign with the Predators? Did you know before everybody else did? Because I would contend that had that not happened, I'm not sure that the Predators would have made it because the crowd was so hungry to have a really good team. You know, they had made it to that point, but the lockout kind of stopped the momentum of having made the playoffs the year before. But there was still a bunch of scrappy guys, overachievers. They needed some star power, and that changed everything, getting Paul Kariya. So take us back to then. When did you know that the team was gonna sign him?
Well, I didn't know until they signed him. It was in the summer, and you know, the free agency and all that. And I'd kind of heard some rumblings that he was there'd been some phone calls, and he'd come into town, and this was one of the teams, because he identified this team as, you know, a team that's ready to take that next step. And I think we all felt that too as players, that you know, we were past maybe the point of being, you know, those bunch of castaways that were, you know, overachievers and just kind of, you know, happy with just making the playoffs. We were getting to that point as a team and as an organization, and I think as a fan base too, where it wasn't maybe just good enough to make it anymore, that the next step, you know, had to be taken in the evolution of the organization. And as a team, that we all felt that as players as well. And I think when Paul Kariya signed, it was incredible. I felt like a little kid. Like I'd watched him too. He's only a few years older than me, but he played in the NHL obviously a lot longer. You know, he played right out of college, and he was a superstar. And to hear what he said about our team, you know, it's one thing to have your own views as a team and as an organization. And, you know, you have that internal, you know, expectation and view of yourself. But when you hear someone like that, that is one of the most, you know, best players, I guess, to ever play the game, and for him to identify your team as, you know, he's, you know, good goaltending. We've got good young talent. He likes the work ethic. He loved the coaching staff. He just thought that we were a team that was a great fit for him. And, you know, for him to think that and to hear other players and teams view you in that light was a pretty cool thing, and a pretty proud moment, I would say, for us as players to be viewed like that from someone like him. And then when he came, man, he was one of the players, I think he probably had one of the biggest impacts in terms of, you know, just being blown away by how a person conducts himself, the superstar that he was, how nice he was. You know, he did a lot of things. I know now with social media and all the exposure, and I know teams want to get this out there, but, you know, doing the philanthropic work and getting out in the community, he did a lot of stuff behind closed doors that nobody ever knew about. He would, you know, buy equipment for hospitals, and he'd get no fanfare. He didn't want anybody to know, but his sister would help him out with setting that up. And I think obviously Rebecca King and the Preds Foundation, you know, helped him get coordinated with people. But he was one of the most generous people that I've ever met as well. But he was he did too. And I think you're right on that as well, Willie. I think that changed the path of who the Nashville Predators were. And I don't know if they would have had a good chance of staying here if they didn't get a player like that. I guess we'll never know, but he certainly changed the direction of this team for good.
Chris Mason with us. Yeah, and I, you know, looking at what you guys have been showing on Fox Sports Tennessee as of late, you know, that run that we all remember from 3 years ago, I mean, you do have to ask the question, does any of that happen if some of the other stories that we've discussed don't happen in the past for this team as building blocks to take the Predators from a different era to what they are today?
Yeah, we'll never know. We'll never know. And it's a crazy thing to think about, but it was getting to that point. And then, you know, and then you have Peter Forsberg and some of the moves that they made, you know, to get to that point. You never know. But I think that was a very bold move. I don't know, obviously, the biggest free agent that they've ever landed, you know, to bring to Nashville. And it really, I think it's one of those moves, too, where, you know, everybody in the league was talking about it. You know, everyone in the league is talking about it. And from then on, you know, you saw a trend of success. And we almost, the one year I can remember, we got into so many injury problems, but we almost won the President's Trophy back then. You know, J.P. Dumont, Steve Sullivan, we had all the young defensemen, Thomas Vokoun and myself were probably playing, you know, the best hockey of our careers. And, you know, everything we were, you know, one of the elite teams in the league. We were going toe to toe with Detroit, you know, it was really cool. And I think when you have success like that, it's obviously, I think more people pay attention to you in the city. You know, our fans have been amazing right from the get go. And I think the Predators did such a good job and made such a wise decision to get that connection with the community. But you know, it's, you need to grow it and you need to make it bigger. And, you know, those years with Paul Kariya and all those guys that we had after that, I think really did a good job of even growing it even more, but keeping that intimate bond that, you know, we built with the fan base before. And I think, you know, even now you look at the teams and the players they have, and, you know, this is a top organization. You have players all over the league now with Nashville as their top team that they want to come to. And it's because of the whole package. And you look at the history of how this team was built and this organization was built. And it's a really, really cool story.
Chris, we must end. We must get out of here. And I have to pump up Willie's tires before we leave. But thanks for the visit as always.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Have a great day.
Chris Mason, same to you every Wednesday in the final hour. And he is driven by Freeland Chevrolet. And he's brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountaintops.com. Suviana has tweeted us the video. And, Willie, you nailed it. It is indeed.
Out of way, Willie.
You nailed
it. All right.
I will never butcher her name. I will never call her Georgia again. Savannah, Georgia. ever again.
Or Atlanta. Or Macon.
Atlanta, yes. Suviana.
Or Valdosta.
So, happy birthday, and she said you nailed it. So good job by you. It is closing time.
Right.
That was fun.
Ended on a high note.
Yeah, good hour. Really good hour. Good show. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. Be safe, because we want you back with us tomorrow morning, starting at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.